everyone, and welcome back. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Casey, and this is I Kid You Not. So, Rye, we haven't talked in a minute.
It's been so long since we've spoken to each other.
How you doing? What's new?
I actually had a really weird week this week. I do hate when the kids say the vibes are off, but I
Wait,
for the
what? Like the kids say that to you?
No, like just kids in general. Like I feel like that's a saying.
Yeah, I say it.
I just think that this week, that was like the only way to describe my week. Like everything just felt a little off kilter. Things just felt a little off. And by the time I left work on Friday, I was like, I feel like I've been hit by a Mack truck. I'm ready to go home, nuggle up. And I got to tell you, I went to Kohl's yesterday on my way home from work. And it was like it was Christmas time in there. I don't know what's happening, why people were out so much shopping. Store was packed. Line was wrapped around. I waited online for 35 minutes to pay for my items.
What?
Yeah. And because I was just in such a like.
Maybe because it's holiday season. Because Passover's next week.
Yeah.
It's spring break for kids.
It is spring break. True. I didn't even think of that. It's spring break.
Yeah.
Because I did not understand it, but I was in such a blah mood and just had such like a blah week that I was like, you know what? I'm just going to sit here and embrace it and stay on this line in silence for 30 minutes. And the other thing I did that I did not tell you about this week. Okay. Did you know that they redid the movie Roadhouse?
Yeah. I watched
it. Okay. So I never saw the original.
What? Yeah. Well, you know, Patrick Swayze's my man. So
I was going to say, you're a Swayze fan. So yeah. I never watched the original. And I just assumed because he's done Ghost and Dirty Dancing. So I thought it was going to be like this like light and airy movie. No. It is not. Mm-mm. It is not. I rewatched it with Jake Gyllenhaal, which also another fun fact, Jake Gyllenhaal was never someone who I just like, he's an attractive man, but he was never someone who did it for me.
Yeah, I agree. You know? I agree.
But he did it for me in Roadhouse.
He was fully committed to that role.
Fully committed.
And he was ripped.
Ripped. God. What do they call those lines? The like penis lines?
I don't know.
But the one.
I don't know. That V, right? That.
Yes. Kind of,
I know. I don't. He had every like ab.
That or, he was the most intense V I've ever seen in my life.
Well, you know, because he was against UFC fighters. So like he went hard.
And I appreciate that commitment. Like while I'm watching it, I Googled his age. Here I am, 37, telling myself that like my body's just different and it's going to take me longer to lose weight, blah, blah, blah. And here's Jake Gyllenhaal, 43, looking like a fucking Greek god on my TV. And I'm like, okay, Ryan, you can do this. Jakey's older than you. And he did it.
So. You know, it's crazy because I don't watch his movies, not purposefully, but it's just I don't really watch them. And I watch them, I feel like they just like are short of something really great. And it's not him. It could just be the script.
I agree.
Around him. It's just like, yeah, right?
So yeah, I totally agree.
Did you watch Roadhouse, his version first? And
yes.
Then?
Oh, yes.
My God. Okay, so what were your thoughts when you watched just him? When you watched the newest one?
The newest one, I'm not big into like all those violence movies. So, and like I said, I was coming into it thinking it was going to be something totally different.
Okay,
so I was like, oh, a little jarred, you know, like, but I liked it. I liked the, whoever the director was, like I liked the camera angles and the change up of things like that. Like I thought that was really cool. It was very unrealistic. Like this guy, full spoiler alert here, people, a guy fucking crashes his boat into the restaurant, flies out of it onto a roof of a bar and survives without a broken bone. He's just up and walking around like maybe a bloody face, a couple scratches. Okay, come on. How is your leg not broken or how are you not knocked out? But I don't really watch UFC because fighting is just not something that like.
I refuse.
Revs my engine. Yeah. I don't like seeing people get into a fight when there's like actual bad blood between them, let alone two people who have no reason to dislike each other, just getting into a ring and fighting for money. But when you think about it, I assume this is a sport, right? So people probably get hit like this all the time, or those men, and they keep going.
Yeah, they're used to it.
Yeah. Right. So I was like, okay, so I can get this because he's supposed to be an ex-UFC fighter. So maybe. But I was thinking that watching it, I was like, oh, is this like the adrenaline that keeps them going through this? Because I would curl up in a ball and be like, I'm done.
I would probably have just been dead. Like I pride myself on trying to survive, but like that amount of action. No, I mean, yeah, right.
And like bare fist punching to the face. Like,
so obviously they went with leading the story about him being a boxer, right? And being like this deathly boxer who no one, just his name, people like walk out of the ring, right? So he's unhinged. But the real one, the original one, Patrick Swayze, what were your thoughts when you watched that?
Patrick Swayze is, to me, I always pictured him as this like Dirty Dancing. Like,
oh, I always saw him as this like badass. He was always playing badass in it. Like, yeah, he was this macho guy.
So it was like a little sad for me to see him be macho.
Oh my God, I loved it. I can't. I watched it when I first saw it. I watched it like I think maybe 5 more times after in a short period of time because I just loved. He's just.
I know. He's your guy. Wasn't he on your hall pass list?
Yeah. Patrick Swayze? Yeah. He is. Although, R.I.P. But like,
not possible, but if it were, he's there.
He also met his wife when he was young, like when they were kids or something. Yeah. And he was married his entire life. They never had kids, although he wanted a kid and he got diagnosed. But he was a loyal man. He's like one of those really good men. Yeah, I love
it. Yeah, I love that.
I went down like a rabbit spiral. Every time I watch him, even though I know it, I still have to go back.
You like, know? No, yeah, that's one of your movies where you can revisit.
Because I love Point Break also. The new one that was a few years ago, I thought was amazing. But the one, the original one, was with Patrick Swayze and Keanu Reeves. And
who was in the new one?
The new one was oh, God. I don't know any of the actors.
Okay.
But stunts these days are the extreme stunts where they like jump off of something. So it geared more towards that stuff. And I got a thrill. I thought it was really well produced, shot, like image, everything. It was really good. But the original, I mean, you can't touch the original. And Patrick was also kind of a badass in that movie. And it was really good. And Keanu Reeves was like really hot because he was young. And I wasn't that into him as he went older, but he looked good in that movie. Like, I was really good.
Keanu Reeves, when he was younger, he was a snack. Yeah, he was a snack. His voice always gave like dummy to me. Like,
yeah, and he walks weird.
What's inside, friend? He does walk weird, but he, in Speed.
What's inside, friend? Too good. You know,
well, do you remember the movie Speed with him and Sandra Bullock?
Yeah. Oh,
I loved that movie. Well, I would watch that movie right now.
They've gone on to interviews over the years more recently where there's like a lot of love there and that they were dating people at the time. One was in a relationship or one wasn't, and like they switched. And so they never were, the timing was never right, but there was a lot of interest between the two of them.
I kind of love that. Like, I know that not everyone loves all the Hollywood nonsense and relationships and thinks a lot of it is like, but I love when you see like these big time celebrities who met or did a movie together when they were like in their 20s or the beginning of their career and still stay close. Busy Phillips and Michelle Williams are still close from their time on Dawson's Creek.
Yep.
Like,
same
I
with
love
the
that.
One Tree Hill girls. They have their own podcasts. Right.
I love that. There.
I definitely think that I also love movies that couples meet and they're still married from where they met. Because then you're watching the movie and you're like, oh my God, I'm watching this fall out in real life. They like fell in love on this set. That's why I love Jumper with Rachel Bilson and Hayden Christensen originally. Now they're not together. But even Sarah Michelle Gellar and Freddie Prinze Jr., when I watch I Know What You Did Last Summer, they weren't together at that time. They fell in love, I think, when Scooby-Doo was going on.
Okay, I was going to ask that. I was just going to ask, but I knew you would have the answer. When that relationship kindled or whatever.
But I do, like, even with Dylan O'Brien and Brittany Robertson, they were dated for, like, 6 years or something, but they met on First Time, which was, like, a high school cute movie. But I also like that there was just like Sandra Bullock and Keanu Reeves, with Rachel Green, I'm say Rachel Green, Jennifer Rachel Aniston, Green. And Ross Geller, you know.
And Ross Geller.
David
and...
Schwimmer. They always had a little something, but they, yeah. the timing wasn't there. I kind of love yeah. that.
So other than my movies, I'm also heavy into this book. A friend at work recommended it to me. She was like, I think you'll love it because I loved Game of Thrones, the books. I liked the series too, but like the books are my top five. I like the fantasy of it. And I loved, absolutely loved the Hunger Games trilogy. So I, the books. Books. Yes. It. So my friend was like, I feel like because you loved those, you're going to love this book. It's called The Fourth Wing. There's definitely going to be more. I have been so heavy into this book, Casey, that it's like keeping me up at night.
I love when you get obsessed right? with a book where you're sleeping the entire night. You're like, oh, I didn't sleep, but you can't put it down.
Can't put it down. And then when I do put it down because I'm like reading it right before bed, it's in my head, like it's in my dreams. I'm flying on dragons in my dreams. It is so good. I highly recommend. I'm not done yet. I have about 100 pages left. And it's also very detailed. So the beginning took me a little longer, not because I wasn't interested, but because I had to like reread the first couple chapters because that's when you learn like all the territories and all the names and all that. And
what like everything means. Okay.
Highly recommend. It's very good. And I don't want to say any more because I'm not done yet. I don't want to spoil it. And I want everyone to read it. But it is one of those books that's like keeping me up to keep reading. So I highly recommend. Our whole intro was my movie and book reviews, Casey. What are you up to?
Yeah, but like I live for movie anything. So let's be honest.
I know.
Nothing. Honestly, I'm preparing to go on this trip and I'm very excited. And I left my work computer at work, which was a hard thing to do.
I know. Love that.
But I have my work email on my phone. So there are right. some pending things that I definitely am going to have to answer throughout the week. But it was a hard executive decision to do. But I'm thinking I have to lug, because it's like a dinosaur laptop. It's quite heavy. And then to bring my personal and my iPad.
Yeah.
Every time I do when I travel, it like breaks my back. So I'm just yeah. not doing it. I'm over it. So I'm just clearly packing behind me and just prepping for this much needed time off. So I got nothing else.
I love that. I think that's a huge, it's weird that that's such a huge monumental thing to do these days is leave your work computer at home. I actually had this conversation with my boss somewhat recently where I said, you know, I think COVID kind of changed that for a lot of people. I was working at a different school and I, up until COVID at my old school, I never took my work computer home, not on the weekends, not when I left, and no one else did either. We all could access our email on our phone and I could sign into my Gmail, my personal laptop if I wanted to. But no one in the office took their work home. So then when I got to my second school, I kept that up at first. And then COVID hit pretty quickly when I was there. And after that, it was like you brought it home every night.
Right, right.
You were working around the clock. So
yeah,
it's weird. Something happened in the last like 5-6 years where it shifted. And I say that to my mom. People of your generation, you went to work, you worked 9 to 5, you left and you left work at work. You didn't have it on your phone. So that's why I think like work from home and all these other things have become such a big deal is because we're such a necessary perk because you are accessible 24/7. We have our phones all the fucking time.
It's annoying. When I worked at Ralph Lauren, I was a remote employee because I was supposed to go in the stores all the time. So my office was at my house. So for 4 years, I was doing that and then COVID hit. So it didn't transition for me as much. Yeah. But with this job, because, you know, when you're in retail, even though that was a corporate role, but when I went to RH and I went back into retail, you're on call. They're open 7 days a week. You're on call because they're open the entire day.
Right. It's
there
retail.
Is no shut off. So they close at 9. And so you have to be accessible literally all the time. So this job, that it's really a true 9-to-5. It is a wholesale gig. So you get your weekends because no one in the company is working. And then on top of that, because my building shuts down at 5, LA is open. So if anything's needed, they can reach the LA office because of the 3-hour difference. So really, you can shut off. Yeah, it's really nice. And so then my boss does not even have her email on her phone. Like this.
Oh, I love that.
Right. So I'm used to all of being accessible all the time and answering right away and checking my emails. And I'm trying to create
take
that
a step back.
Right.
Yes.
I've never had that in a long time. So I'm trying to do the more digression.
Yes. Yeah. But
isn't it crazy when you think back to our childhood? Because I definitely thought this when I was a kid, that life stays at a whole. Like you don't, if you are experiencing something when you're 4, when you're 6 or 8, it doesn't, it's still going to be the same. Like right. I didn't realize that life advanced so drastically over periods of time until I got older. Cause I didn't understand. I'm like, oh, well, I can do this eventually, or I can get this eventually. Although it just progressed so fast. It just wasn't a thing anymore.
Well, yeah. Life happens fast. Things feel so permanent, but also forever. You feel like you have forever when you're younger, you know, like
even now you think like, oh, we're in a nice little capsule of time, but in 5 years, it could be something completely different. Look at COVID.
I know.
I would have never thought our entire lifespan would be part of this apocalyptic
pandemic
moment. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very weird.
I get caught up in that sometimes where I am like, I put a pressure on myself as if things are, this is it and this is forever. And my sister-in-law is actually really good at reminding me of that. When I talk to her about certain things, she'll be like, okay, so you give it a shot. And if you don't like it, you don't have to stay there. Or like, if you're not happy at your job, you can apply to other jobs. If you don't like where you're living, you can try things and they don't have to be forever. But I feel like things are.
I appreciate that advice. I'm like you.
Yeah. And she's like, no, you don't have to treat everything like it's forever.
You want to know why too? Is because I think that we were groomed that you have to stay in a place for X, Y, and the amount of time to show loyalty to a company, build your resume. So
yes.
You think you have to commit when
really those days are
like,
gone, girlfriend.
Well, yeah, I know, right?
Gen Z is like, if they're not happy a weekend, they're like, peace, I'm out of here.
It's wild. I don't know. For me, it was like a 2-year limit, like minimum.
Right. I was told like, you can't even put it on your resume if you haven't been there at least a year.
Yeah.
All right, fuck it. I won't put it on my resume then. And they're happy to say in an interview when someone's like, oh, I see this like gap in your resume, or I see that you were only here for 3 months. Like, yeah, no, the vibes are off. Like,
the vibes are off.
They're like,
that's really
happy to say that. You're like,
Well, so Vanessa, I reached out to her because I hadn't heard for a minute. I wanted to check
in.
And she said that she's trying to get back into the workforce and she is looking for a job.
Okay.
So I just went through this journey and she's like, if you don't know anyone, you can't get it. I'm like, do I not understand that more than anything? So I gave her some things that I learned along the way. But it's definitely a challenge to get back in there, and she wants to shift industries too. So,
It is not
fun. No. I don't know how these young kids are making the money and being able to just shut off. And she goes, you know, I was off for some time. Is that going to hurt me? And I said, no one asked me in the interview. I think someone mentioned something, but like it wasn't a prominent issue.
Yeah. Again, I don't think it's like how it used to be, where like a gap in your resume used to mean something. Now I think it's just like, okay, they were finding themselves.
Or there was like a project or someone was doing something. Like I just said, I'm like, just say you're doing something.
You were exploring personal.
She was creating her own business.
Before we kick into what we're doing, I texted you about this the other day. I can't even believe that I'm supporting this because I used to be a huge Bethany fan. This is on a total other thing, but speaking of workers and go-getters, I was a huge Bethany fan back in my day. I'm not here for a lot of the things she's doing lately. Some of her TikToks when she's just like stuffing her face on a, you know, flagel.
I like her. I hate to like her, but I like her. But there are annoying things. I agree.
Such annoying things. But whenever she's like eating a flagel with like cottage cheese on it, like I can't help but laugh. I'm like, okay. Like, this is what we need about it. So good. So good. While she like stuffs her face, I'm like, okay. So she just started a like new, I guess, just spinoff of her own podcast, kind of. It's like a little series, 20 to 25 minute episodes, where she's chronicling her whole divorce from her perspective, her 10-year divorce from Jason Hoppe. She had a gag order for a while. She, from the gag order, has been lifted now that everything's over, and she addresses it right away in the first episode, because then I listened to the first two episodes. There's only two episodes out. I wasn't going to, because I'm like, fuck Bethany now, because she annoys me, but this, like, was happening when I was her, a fan, you know, like, I saw the relationship and everything up. So she reeled me back in for sure. I'm like, why didn't you lead with this to give yourself some relevance and not the fucking crusade on Andy Cohen? If you were an old school, like, Roni fan, it is definitely worth listening to. It really gives you some insight. My initial thought was like, oh, of course, the gag order must be lifted, so she's going in now. But then I was like, wait, her daughter's like 11 years old now, 12 years old. Like,
yeah, she's older.
She could hear about this. Is she sure she wants to do that? That seems like a little, I don't know, cruel, right, to do to your daughter when you're talking about her father. But true to Bethany form, addresses that also and is like, nothing that I'm saying on here, my daughter doesn't know. Whether that's good or bad, fine.
She is a transparent woman. Like, yes. It does seem like she can't not word right. vomit everything. But
yes.
I don't know if the respect level for her father is there, but I would assume it is because it's her father and she has to play somewhat of a politic for the right. daughter in a certain sense.
I'm very intrigued so far. Things are, because she's taking you back from like how they met and yeah. like red flags.
I remember that.
She, right.
Honestly, she was a red flag for me. I felt for him, like, when they first met and when they're on the show. I was like, oh, my God, run. Get out. Leave her.
Me too. I thought he was a cat. I know. I thought he was a catch. I was like, wow, okay, Bethany, how'd you reel him in?
I agree.
So it's interesting. You talk about this stuff all the time, the red flags that we ignore or things that you convince yourself aren't red flags. And you're like, oh, maybe that's really cute, like, that's so sweet that he did that. And then when you think back, you're like, well, or after you've had some time, you realize it's not sweet, it's actually like a pattern of this controlling behavior.
Is she just kind of going at him, or is she owning her own, like, not listening to her own self about maybe where
she's owning it all,
what she wanted? Got it.
She's owning it all, which I do respect. She's coming from a place of like, or she's, so she says, you know, Bethany, the savior Bethany, she's like, I think people will consider a very smart, successful woman. And I yet made a lot of mistakes and ignored a lot of things and went, followed the goo-goo gaga rather than being logical and using my head in certain situations and taking a step back to think. I ignored my gut. Like, in certain situations, she said something in the second episode and I was like, that's actually a really good point. If you don't know if it's right, it's not right. When it comes to like the big moves. Like,
yeah, but you
she was saying,
way.
Like, I was not 100% sure about getting married, but I thought you had all these other things, like society. She was 37 years old. She's getting older. She's single. She didn't have kids, blah, blah, blah. Society telling you this is what you're supposed to be doing. And then on top of that, he is this great guy with very involved parents, and he's seemingly so charming and supportive. Why wouldn't I do this rather than taking a step back and being like, do I want to do this right now? Just because I'm pregnant doesn't mean I have to get married. What she's saying is that if you speak to any divorce attorney, they'll tell you a relationship is romantic. A marriage is a contract.
Yeah. I mean, I think when you have, you're pregnant and you're like, oh, marriage, let's do it, because your hormones are racing. Having a child is a lot of work. A relationship is a lot of work. It's not the solution. it's not the answer. It's hard to hear this, and not to say she's incorrect by any of this. It's just because she's in a different place and her wisdom is right. In a different place. But I was more concerned for him than her because she was the nightmare of the two. I don't know what their relationship and why they broke up. And I'm not putting like he's this innocent individual, but
no, he's definitely not.
I remember watching the show, and you know, it's a show, so you don't know anything like so deep and personal, but I just always thought she was flighty. She didn't want a child. She wanted her independence. She kept pushing everything away. And honestly, if anything, he gave her a child.
I think where they went south was completely financial. It seems like the money and the finances and the business really is what turned them. And she's like, and things that I thought were him being like, oh, look how supportive he's being of me and accessible. We're now like, in hindsight, maybe those were red flags that he was like being manipulative instead. Like, you know,
Money's tough,
especially when you have Bethany Frankel money, you know?
But wasn't he doing something and then he left his job because he needed it and like he was now then the finance person? I feel like
he was working in marketing. He was working in marketing in Manhattan. 12 years ago, and he was younger than her. So he was on probably a great trajectory, however you say it, within his company. But
yeah,
it wasn't
Bethany money. Yeah.
Not Bethany money, no. But yeah, so that's been all that I have going on, and it's a lot.
Interesting. Well, I'm excited to see what your feedback is as you hear more of it.
Yeah, I'll keep you updated.
What your memory was initially of when we watched it opposed to what she's expressing.
Bravo had a kind of crazy week this week with reality star breakups and firings, people they aren't bringing back and all that. And she says something like, I know that I'm coming from inside is 2020 kind of place. And she's like, you know, I'll talk about anything. Like you said, she has like diary of the mouth, but she did have a gag order for a really long time and couldn't talk about anything. And she's like, I hated it because I hate when these couples like me who are on a reality TV show in the beginning, when everything is fun and they meet and they love each other and everything's amazing. They want it on TV and they're shoving their relationship in your face. Right. And then when they break up, it's like, please respect our privacy at this time, you know? So
yeah, that's totally fair.
Like, yeah, I get. I do. You're right. So she was like, "So I want to tell the shitty part of what happens, but I haven't been able to for a long time." So I did like that.
That was definitely his doing too. I feel like.
Well, this month has flown by. We are already looking at May 1st, which means all of the Justin Timberlake. It's going to be May. Memes are going to start coming out. So be prepared, everyone.
Oh, my God. There's a filter on TikTok that's Justin Timberlake with his really curly afro hair. I saw it recently, yesterday, and I died.
Like, people are so crazy.
So funny, though.
So, yeah, I mean, we're technically in spring, I think, right? March was spring, but this... I don't know, at least in the Northeast, it's like this weather has been more noncommittal than probably anyone I've ever dated, which is saying a lot.
There's right? No in between.
It was this week, it was 70 degrees one day, and then the week ended with it 40 and rainy.
Yep. Like,
this is not okay. But I am looking forward to May. May, I think, might be up there on one of my favorite months. I think because I'm a beach town girly. I live in Long Beach, and once, like, mid-June hits, we kind of lose our town to the outsiders, you know, and everyone's coming in. So May and September have always been like my favorite months because it's semi-beach weather. I like sitting on the beach with like a sweatshirt. It's not as crazy and as busy and plans and all that. So I'm looking forward to this month. I'm hoping that this month brings better vibes.
Oh, the vibes. The vibes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The vibes. I know. Let me stop saying that. I can't.
You just go off about in the beginning. Vibes. I like a good vibe. I would like some vitamin D. I think my skin is desperately needing it. So I'm looking forward to this trip and building a little base, hopefully. Yes. Although there's going to be a little rain and it's going to be a little cooler. Of course, when we leave is when it's going to be like in the 80s,
when which it kicks is in.
Typical, but you never know. Right. But I'm definitely ready for that lighter jacket and, you know, that sun coming out and
you can figure it out.
Wanting to really stay out after work and just kind of enter into that, you know, happy time of year.
I mean, I feel like May and September are good times to be in the city also, because a lot of city people head to the beach for the weekends once June and July and August hit. But like
May
and September is like rooftop bar season.
Actually, this rooftop that I love got bought, and I just was so bummed because it's a good spot by me. But they are renovating it and it's going to be open this summer. So I cannot wait.
Oh, that's exciting. So it's a new owner and everything?
Yeah, it was a part of the Pod Hotel. It used to be called Tacos Salvation.
I've been there.
Yeah, and I love the rooftop. They got bought out and they're renovating it. I don't know what it is going to be. I don't really want to give it up because I don't want to be there a ton of lines. Do your own research. That's the other thing is like when you suggest things, like you don't want it to be fully taken over and then it becomes not, because I don't want it to be, you know, you don't want anything to be a tourist spot. You want to keep it having the character. You want to keep it with the right kind of vibe. But like,
I get that with my restaurants. Like we have our local restaurant right in the Five Towns. You go every time you're home with your parents. I go probably twice a month. And a lot of people in Long Beach don't really know about it, and I like it. And now they're starting to learn about it. And while I'm happy for Nikki and I want his business to do well, I'm a little bit like, don't fucking infringe on my space, people. This is my shit.
Right. Yeah.
So I get that.
Yeah.
You want the success. You just want it also to stay your thing, you know?
Yeah. I'm also excited to get back into bike riding.
You love a city bike, I feel like.
I do. I like riding along the water. My job's actually not that far off if, you know, once it gets a little warmer out, I wouldn't mind doing that and saving a little on my Ubers because it's getting expensive. But I'm looking forward to just kind of being out a bit more. And I the sun helps not want to be an introvert, you know.
Now, were you an early adopter of the city bike program, or did it take you a little while to get there? Because
I would say maybe 2 years at this point. No, I was late. Late in the game.
Because Long Beach is a big bike town. Everyone's riding their bikes. I have a bike. I bought it 2 years ago, almost exactly. I have ridden it twice since I bought it in the 2 years. I'd rather just walk everywhere. Because while Long Beach is a bike town and the boardwalk has like specific bike lanes, the streets do not. So I don't like that. I feel very vulnerable riding my bike there.
The streets are tight. Yeah.
And I think all the time, how the fuck do people ride their bikes in Manhattan where they're driving is fucking crazy? I'd be terrified. But you do have bike lanes.
We do have bike lanes. I don't really go inland. I normally stay on the
path.
Yeah, I'll go on the path. I'm on the water. I mean, there are times where I'm coming from my brother's and it's easier to go down Second Avenue and there's a nice hill that drops and there's not as much action to climb up. So it's a straight shoot to my house. So it depends. And also by my house and by the tunnel, the bike traffic is real. Like sometimes you can't even cross the street because there's so many bikes. When I'm trying to hail a cab, I have to go like in the between of the street and the bike in order to get a cab. And there's always so much action because you have a lot of the delivery guys.
You're telling me that people ride their bikes through the tunnel? No, right?
No, not the tunnel. Okay. No, just not near the tunnel. There.
All right. I was just like, wait a second. That sounds terrifying.
I don't even know if that's a thing.
I don't know if it's allowed either, honestly.
Yeah, no, if I started seeing that, I first off, if I was in the car and I saw a biker, I'd fucking honk at them. Like, what are you doing here? Get the fuck out of my way.
Well,
slow shit down.
It is. That's so funny you say that. My mother is a grown-ass woman, right? And She does not drive still to this day, has never driven.
What?
My mom does not even have a license.
I did not know that. Maybe I forgot. Oh my God. So how does she get to work? How does she go over? So
when we were growing up, she would walk. She would take cabs, or my aunts live around the corner and they would give her rides everywhere. And then Uber was invented. Right. And she was like, oh, I'm good now. This was made for me and I'll never have to worry about a ride again. But she always said, when I've asked her like why she doesn't drive and why she doesn't want to, she's like, when I tried, when I was, you know, younger, the bikers, like, it scared me too much. And I was almost hitting them every time because I felt like we shouldn't have to share the road. And that was it. I was like, you know what? I'm done. Safer for everyone if I don't drive.
I'm fascinated by that. Only because listeners, she lives in suburban land, like, you know, out in Long Island. This is not like a city. Nor I feel like most people in the city just have an identification. They don't have driver's licenses. And I always find that so fascinating. But to be where we live, you really need some kind of form of transportation to get around.
No, that's so true. I feel like people in the city like pride themselves on not having a license. Like,
yeah.
A
license. Yeah. I always think that's weird. But
yeah.
I mean, just because of
we're Long Islanders. Yeah.
Right. Oh, I know. So interesting. So your mom's living the same life as me with that Amsterdam Uber life.
Oh, yeah. She loves a new day. I know. But I guess she's like, well, you make a car payment every month and I pay for my Ubers. I'm like,
that's fair.
All right. Fair.
That's fair. Also, I'm going to have a little venting session for a second because it really pisses me off. Is that Uber, you know, there are pockets of times that I feel like in this city, there's no, you can't get anywhere. There's no cabs. There's no Ubers. The surcharge is crazy. They're 15 minutes away. You can't get anywhere. And I don't understand it. And I feel like the prices of things, including cabs and tipping, is on another level of obnoxiousness. And the fact that fast food is no longer the cheapest option to eat food anymore, I find to be insulting and obnoxious. And I'm a fast food girly. I enjoy my fast food meals, but I'm paying like $15, $20 now. For what?
I know.
It should be capped at like 8 or 10, depending if you're getting a meal or not. It's obnoxious. Right.
I went to do a Taco Bell order the other night when I saw the price for my regular combo meal, Nachos Bel Grande combo meal. It was like almost $30 to get it delivered. Not worth it.
Right. Not worth it. I agree. Same with Shake Shack and McDonald's. I can't even fathom it. And I pay the unlimited subscription for these deliveries. So I feel like I'm not winning.
Also, if you look at your like charges, there's all these different charges that you would hope they're paying the drivers a percentage of.
Right, but they're not.
Maybe they're not. And that's because fucked up.
They go on rants Uber. With me. And now cabs have upped their to be in line with Ubers. Everything's being raised but people's paychecks. Like, exactly. It's just insane. How do you expect human life to be able to stay on par in life and be a contributing factor when everything is inflated, but people's paychecks in order to afford any of the things that is being priced to them these days? It's bullshit.
I don't know, Case, because I'm not an economist. I'm so confused, but I don't know how it's going to get better or when, but I did hear, and I hope this is just a rumor, but my brother told me this, and my younger brother is a huge fast food person like you. He told me that he heard Wendy's is going to start doing surcharges during their busy times, the way like Uber, if it's raining, there'll be an extra surcharge. If it's rush hour,
where
there's
an extra
surcharge.
Where do they get off? Yeah. What nerve? Where do they get off?
Right? Like, it's already your busiest time, you little fuckface. Now you're going to charge me double while I'm waiting in the drive-thru?
Literally a slice of pizza is cheaper than fast food, anything at this point.
And it's a damn shame. Gone are the days of a true dollar menu. There's definitely the dollar menu when we were in high school was actually a dollar menu.
You could even less. Yeah.
Actually get a junior bacon cheeseburger for 99 cents.
Yeah.
A 5-piece nugget for 99 cents. You could get a Frosty for 99 cents. Now the dollar menu is like $1.39. And I'm like, that's not a dollar.
Even at the dollar store, there's. It's not all a dollar.
Don't get me started on the dollar store because they fucking lie to you. I would run to the dollar store. Now everything is so overpriced there too. I picked something up at the dollar store the other day, a platter that I know 5 years ago was literally $1.50. It was $7. I was like, I would have ordered this on Amazon if I wanted to spend $7.
Yeah. I also feel with Amazon, I have another pet peeve with that. Well, it's because you pay for Prime membership, but things don't arrive next day or in 2 days.
Oh, and so next what day am delivery I paying for? Next day delivery is truly gone.
Yeah, so why am I paying Prime? I mean, I'm glad I get like the movies and the shows and stuff, but it's not the same membership. It's everything's a scam. It's bullshit.
Everything's a scam. It's sad times.
I think it has a lot to do with technology. We are just in a mass production, product-driven part of this life. Yeah. And it's sad. You take all this hard-earned money and you want to be able to travel, see the world, or provide for your family and children, be able to give them activities, clothes, just anything to have a stable life, and pay your rent, you know, mortgage, you know. And this day and age, it's, you know, oh, I see this on TikTok, I have to have it. The algorithm is showing you things specifically for a reason. It's right. It's all in a way just to spend your money. And it's, you don't even realize it.
Right.
You don't have control over it because you're just folding into the manipulation of it. And it's hard to pull away.
It's really hard to turn off. Like, we are on our devices nonstop.
It's just, yeah, it's wild. Anyway.
Speaking of our consumer-driven society and shopping, I know we were talking last week about how we've been trying not to shop because we're not where we want to be, but you know I have like a shoe problem and I have more shoes than I have space to put them in. And I started going through them the other day because I'm like, okay, is it time to switch over from the booty to the open toe? Or are we not there yet? Like, when is that official? Because my mom was like, I hate when people switch over too soon.
And I'm like, agree. I'm with her on that. When I see people in sandals, I'm like, oh, shut up.
Like, I know. But when you have like a nice 70 degree day, even if it's April, is it okay to put the open toe on?
I don't know. I don't think at this point. I think
you don't think
next
so.
Month. Yeah.
You think when May is in full force, we can go open toe? All right. Well, that's disappointing for me.
Just look at the difference in the weather with just in 2 days. I mean, if you have a week where it's like beautiful out, or you have 2 weeks where it's beautiful out, I think it's now time to do it. But when it's okay. So drastic, I think it's too soon.
I gotcha. So maybe what I should do is follow the rule of thumb I do for planting my flowers for open toe shoes, because that's another what thing. I do for my for my flowers.
Weekend. Yeah, weekend used to be the time to always buy flowers, and now it's still colder. Tulip season is in like high swing, which I always love that tulips
come
first. They're
beautiful. I do not have a green thumb, and I've been trying, and that is like a May project for me. I have like these five pretty big planters in my back space, and the last couple of years I've just done like petunias and something else easy.
Oh, petunias.
Yeah, and it makes it just like pretty when I come home.
Your mom's like a big flower person. She's a big garden. Yeah. My mom's like so into it. I actually loved growing up, and every year around Mother's Day, we would go to the flower market. And I just had, my mom gave me the backyard on the side. It's all she would allow me to do. Because the front is.
You can't mess up her front. Yeah.
But the back was shady. So I was limited on my options. But I used to love. I don't have a green thumb as far as any indoor plants. It is not my vibe. I can't keep them alive. I've had the same succulent that's over here for a while, but I feel like that's a little pathetic guy. But I also get creeped out because first off, the cat will eat and
it creeps me out. Right.
But also when I had succulents in this like long rectangular vase holder, and there was three of them. There was bugs in them, and I can't. It's too much for me. I can't.
I guess downfall of this time of year, because like I said, May is probably my favorite month. But the thing that brings me down a little is the bugs. I'm very clean. You clean all the time, but I feel like I always in like May need to get like those like ant strips by my doors.
Yeah, like they come out.
I hate it.
My mom has that too. I used to have it in the bathroom growing up in my parents' house. The ants would come along the windowsill. I'm like, these
already started noticing like a few ants by the door, looking the gnats.
Yeah.
Those motherfucking gnats. So Felicia lives in Island Park and I lived in Island Park for probably a good 4 years. And it is a very buggy town. I don't know why. It's just over the bridge from Long Beach. And it is significantly buggier.
Maybe because it's sandwiched in.
Alicia lives there now. And she, like, every day this last week, we've been getting a text from her about, like, some kind of fucking crazy bug she's seen in her house, like a huge spider or the ants in by the front door. And I remember that life.
I you know, the one thing that I'm glad that's not really there anymore that was a big thing when we were growing up were cicadas. I haven't seen one in a long time. Like, they used to be a lot.
So there's like a thing about them. We're going to have to look into this because there's a thing about their like migration and whatever. And that's, I remember hearing about this because I recently had the same thought, like, wow, cicadas used to be like a thing, right?
Like a big thing. It was disgusting. I remember being a kid and it was like the size of my foot.
And there's something about like their migration and their mating patterns is why they haven't been around for a little while. I actually remember hearing about this.
That actually sounds pretty familiar. I hope they stay away because we have these stupid other ones now, those red ones.
Those lantern bugs, they're already out.
Are they?
At least on the North Shore. I work on the North Shore and I'm on like a beautiful, like sprawling campus, lots of green, which is a huge adjustment from like coming from working in the city.
Where,
like,
right.
The building just goes up and this is like a campus that like goes out and it's, you're surrounded by greenery. So the bugs are already kind of out there as well. And the fucking lantern bugs. And we're right by the woods. At the beach last summer, they were like
insane.
It was insane.
Like literally crawling. Like there were actual like roaches. It was like all over the sand. All over.
I remember this woman in the cabana next to me telling me that she went down to the ocean. So she was like, this is too much for me. I got to leave. Got back to the cabana. And there were some in her bag. They hopped into her beach bag.
Oh, no. That's my biggest fear with any – when I have any bag out in public is something crawling in it and taking something my crawling house and in. Don't know it.
Yes.
It's a big fear of mine, especially in the city with
you hug your it nose. Close.
Yeah, uh-huh. So I try not to ever put my bag on the floor or next to a wall, you know, when you're sitting.
Yeah.
I remember when we were at the beach last year, quite a bit, because my mom didn't even know what they were. I was like, what are you, living under a rock? Get out of here.
Maybe an unpopular opinion, but I am not saving the bugs.
No, my mom saves them. She saves them all. And she gets, like, annoyed if you kill it. So here I am with a sandal permanently in my hand at the beach.
Right.
Because I kept having to swat them and kill them or bury them in the sand because they were all over the place. And my mom at first was like, you can't do that. It's the only acceptable time to ever say you can kill something. And
It is the only time we'll allow it. And I am with you, Casey. I dated a guy once who never killed bugs. And we were in his apartment one time and there was like this fucking monster spider. And he was like, look at it, blah, blah. Like, we can't kill it. And I was like, yes! I'm screaming like a maniac. And he's like, I'm not going to kill it. Looking at me like I'm a murderer. I'm like, excuse me, sir, I'm not getting Lyme disease because you didn't feel like killing that spider. So get it out and let's move on.
My mom's like, no, 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 I'll get it. I'll get it. She gets her like, you know, put like mail and a glass.
And then she like,
walks it out. Yeah. And I'm like, well, it's just going to make its way back in here. Squash.
Right. I've seen people do that with bees. I'm like, fuck that. Leave it in the cup and let it suffocate. Like,
they sting, they die anyway. So you're just helping it's the evolution of them.
I know. I probably sound like a real sicko, like a serial killer just wanting to kill the bugs.
No, I'm with you.
That's probably my least favorite thing about the spring. But also my favorite part about the month of May, maybe this is also why I like May so much lately in the last few years, it's when we're allowed into the beach club to start setting up.
Oh, yeah.
So I am really excited about that because we had to move everything over to our new cabana. But in May, we get to actually start setting it up and, you know, making it our own and going there on the weekends. So that's exciting. I'm smiling just talking about it. I'm so happy about it. I'm ready for the beach club.
I'm jealous, honestly, because someone just asked me recently, one of my friends was like, so do you have any plans for the summer? And this is the first summer that it's going to be quiet. Hunter, I think, is going to be going to sleepaway camp.
Wow.
I know. That's huge. It's huge. It's going to be a month to start with, but then he's going to be bunking with people that are doing the full summer. Okay. So if he does want to stay, he can.
He can.
That also leaves my like summer to be wide open and boring. So my mom's gonna do the cabana because there's no one, the kids aren't gonna be here. The baby's way too young. And they might be going to the lake house, you know, a lot. And it's gonna be kind of I'm back into a quiet house. So I'm like, I guess I'll do my pool membership on my rooftop, but you know, I don't, you know,
you do that. You can come visit me at Silver Point whenever you want on the weekends.
But I'm kind of bummed. I love the cabana life.
I know.
Nice to have it. Yeah.
It is. It's a nice life. By the end of the summer, I feel like you're ready to not see some of the people on your court for the year. And then by the time like March hits and you're like, okay, I'm ready to see these people. If it means I have to see these people to be in my happy place, so be it.
Right. Be completely, you have different neighbors now. So
different neighbors this year. I am pumped about it. I'm just so excited. I can't wait. And I feel like before we wrap things up a bit, we have to talk about our Swiftie.
Oh my God. Her new
album drop. Have you listened to it yet?
I listened to some of it. I plan to do it when I'm like on the trip. So I downloaded it all and I'm ready to listen to it on the plane. And
I highly recommend that you just listen to it straight through, like from beginning to end in order.
Okay.
That's how I did it. When you listen to it straight through that, like that, it sounds like just to me, it gave like just one really long song, but like in a good way.
Good. Okay, cool.
You know what I mean?
She thinks of all sides. She really does. Watching,
like reading a book. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was like beginning to end is how I felt.
And she's very purposeful with literally every single thing she does. And then on TikTok, my algorithm went completely into Taylor Swift, which is how I knew in the first place.
Uh-huh.
A lot of the things that I was learning. And they were saying how they had to listen to it to like four or five times just to get certain subtlety comments between like Charlie Puth or all these different people. They were mentioned in different songs based on like a song artist that they loved or a band, and like connected the dots on things. And I'm like, she does like to leave those Easter eggs. Literally,
she loves an Easter egg, and her fans eat it up.
And it's 31 songs. So I was looking at this one girl. I was like, I'm at 24, and I'm like kind of mad, but not, because I'm in love and in heaven. But 31 songs to try to decipher is, there's a lot of homework all these girlies are doing right now.
I was going to say that is a lot of work for the Swifties.
But everyone's eating it up. And they're
eating
it up. Even people that don't like her and don't listen to her, like, look, I respect her, love her. I think she is untouchable. Right. She has changed the way the industry does things. But do I listen to her music on a regular? No. But do I know a lot of her music? Yes. And I've heard that people who were not really a Swiftie fan but respected her, like, completely folded into this album.
Well, we have friends who are not Swifties. Yeah. And one of them, Ashley, texted us yesterday and was like, I hate to say it, guys, but this album is fucking fire. Like,
oh my God. She,
I know. She's like, I love every song. Like, she got Florence and the Machine on there. Florence and the Machine hasn't put out new music, and I don't even know how long. Like,
no, I'm excited to listen to that. I want to listen to her and Post Malone. I saw that she
had
tattoos on her face, which I love. I heard
that's a good one.
The Kim K one. Like, that one I listened to.
Yeah,
that's
that was funny.
And Cassandra I listened to, but I didn't listen to anything else yet, so.
What do you think of the Kim K one? Like,
to diss somebody so politely in the sense of the kind of tone and music that she moved through it, but like destroy her in every step of the way is just poetic.
Genius. Yes, poetic. You're right. That to me is like the top insult when you tell someone like, my mom doesn't like you. Like, that's top tier insult.
I think his best one was like, no one will know it's about us but us. And then your kid was going to come home and started saying, thank you, Amy. And I could see Northwest. She's a petty girl. Like, I could see her completely, because she's a Swiftie, yeah, holding into and saying that to her. Like, or that, even I think, the fact is the biggest that, like, F you.
Right, pointing out that, like, you've done nothing but talk shit about me for no fucking reason. And yeah, your daughter's a Swiftie, so fuck you.
Yeah. Slayed.
I am not, like, this over the top Swiftie. I respect her, and I like her music. I'm not gonna lie. I don't love all of it, but there are certain albums and certain tracks that I'm like, oh, that's legit.
Right.
And then I bump regularly. But can we just talk about the fact that this woman has been on a tour, a worldwide tour, for the last, what, year and a half?
Mm-hmm.
Year? And also at the same time manages to put out a 33 song album.
Well,
and I'm sure some of it was recorded before, whatever. But do you understand the level of discipline and commitment and, like, hard fucking work that takes? This is not like your average.
And put a movie out of the entire. Yeah,
I should. This is not your average entertainer. This is, we're going above and beyond, and that's it. Yeah. So I just want to give her props for that, honestly.
Mad props. Like,
and
still be able to be a regular person and go to Coachella
with her boyfriend and get drunk
in the crowd, having a great time, like a regular girl could do.
Yeah. So if I wasn't a Swiftie before, consider me a tortured poet. Well, I know you have a trip to get to, and we've got, you know, long days ahead. Casey had me up bright and early for this one today, guys. So
thanks for joining us, everyone, and listening. We can't wait to hear your opinions on things. Leave a comment and hit the follow button and tune into new episodes every Tuesday, streaming on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, socials on Instagram and TikTok. And we'll see you soon.